I am very excited to be here with you today and to get an opportunity to share. I don't do this very often for a reason. I don't really like to do this, but it makes me really thankful for people like Jonathan and Greg and people who fill in and teach and have that gift. So, but you know, they make me do it every now and then. So when I do get to do it, I always talk about the family. That's really my passion area. And so as usual, I'm going to teach about family today. But it really has an implication for everyone. And also, as usual, I have way too much information. So we're going to try to dive in quickly and just kind of gulp down as much as we can here. In the past couple of years, I put together sort of a track for us as parents to choose that we can choose to run on. A part of that track is what happens here on Sunday mornings. So over there, we have XP, we have Exchange, and we have FX, three programs that we put into place last year that that we do on the church side just to kind of come alongside and help you as you are the spiritual leaders of your home. And then a much, much bigger part of that track is what happens at home, what you do at home. And if you remember, I taught about a year ago about the idea of having four keys for families. And so that was basically a 10-month research project that I put together and just read and interviewed and talked to a lot of people about what was the most successful thing to help kids to transition from being a child to being an adult and staying with their faith for the long haul. And so so I kind of scrunched it down to four things that I felt like that I heard and read from people. So that was the four keys for families. And if you're new to Skyline and you weren't a part of that, I'd love to share that with you. Get a hold of me and I'll take you to lunch. We'll talk about that. So then a few months back, I watched this video series. I think somebody had tipped Jonathan off to it. He had it mailed to my house because we have trouble getting mail here at Skyline. So everybody mails stuff at my house. I got it, and I took it first, and I started watching it, and I was like, this is fantastic. So it's a seven-week series, like seven sessions, and it's called For the Life of the World. And I was so impressed. The second one was on family, the economy of love. So I was like, I got to figure out a way to use this and pass this on to you guys. When this opportunity came, I thought, well, I'll use it this morning. So lucky for you, you don't have to hear me talk for a long time today. I'm going to play a video here in a little bit that's about 20 minutes long, and it'll be much, much better than anything I have to say. But before we get to it, I want to set it up a little bit, give you sort of a background about what we're going to see. So let me pray for us, and then I'll jump into that. God, thank you so much for this morning. What a beautiful morning it is. We thank you for meeting us here in this room. And God, today I just pray you would speak through me, that you'd speak through this video, that you would use your word, Father, to continue to shape our hearts and our minds to think and become more like you, Jesus. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So over the years, I've had the privilege, I guess, to be a part of many startup ministries. Skyline here is a part of a startup ministry 7-plus years ago. I've been a part of consulting groups who've helped new projects get launched to help kind of reimagine existing projects. A lot of you in here are entrepreneurs, so you get this. You understand that when you start something new, there's a few basic questions that you start with. The first one is simply, why do you exist? So whether it's a business or a ministry or whatever it is, you start with the question of why do you exist? What is what's the end picture for you? What do you hope to accomplish when it's all said and done? The second question I think that we ask ourselves is, okay, I get it. I get why we exist. The second question then is, how are we going to make that happen? What are the steps to make that happen? How does that happen most effectively? Well, as we continue to pursue God's plan for families, there are two similar questions that I hope to answer this morning through what I say and what the video says. And there, these two questions are this. The first one is, why did God create the family? why did God create the family? Why does it exist? What's the big picture in all of this when it comes to family? The second question is, when it comes to God's plan for marriage and family, what are we saying yes to? You know, most of us who are married sat in front of a congregation and we had a pastor and we said vows to each other and we said yes, and we probably had no idea what we're saying yes to. And after 19 years of marriage, I look back and I go, man, did I say yes to that? I mean, there's a lot of things that we look back and we go, wow, you know, saying yes to marriage is much bigger than we thought when we were in our young 20s, probably, when most of us got married. So what am I committing to? And how do we make that work most effectively? Well, to help us answer those questions, I want to take us to the Old Testament story of Jeremiah. So I've given you an outline. Most of you have one. If you don't, you can raise your hand and maybe somebody will be kind enough to bring them down. Or you can just open your Bibles, do it the old-fashioned way. But I'm reading out of Jeremiah 29, out of the New Living Translation. And here we see a letter that the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the Israelites who were being exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. And over the years, we know that the kingdom of Israel really had its share of ups and downs, right? When Israel yearned after God, it thrived. But when it turned from God, things didn't go so well. And so during a time when Israel sort of hit rock bottom, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, who then recorded their exile here in Jeremiah 29. So here we go. We're going to start on verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. He says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray for the Lord, pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. And then we pick up verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. So, man, there's a lot to unpack there. We won't get to all that. But basically, the Israelites in this story were being punished for their unfaithfulness to God. And so God forced them, he exiled them, to live in a foreign, really antagonistic culture. So I use that word because it means a culture of opposition or hostility. And he planted them there. And God commanded them to build homes there, to plant gardens there, to have families, and to seek the peace and prosperity of their new neighbors. And he says, your labor will transform them, your new neighbors, as a people of God. And then he promises to restore them, the Israelites, to their new home one day. Now, does anything in that story sound familiar to you? You know, when we look in the New Testament, that we see that same word exile used to describe our present journey in this world. You see, we too have been sort of dropped into this place that's not our home. And with the same promise of a new home one day. Listen to this, as I'll just read some scripture here about how we're described in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. That's how we're described. Hebrews 11:13 says, we're strangers and exiles on this earth. 1 Peter 1:17 says, conduct yourselves with reverent fear throughout your time of exile. And then we read about our future in Hebrews 13. It says, "For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." And then Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship as followers of Christ is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So, what does this have to do with family? What does this have to do with the two questions I proposed earlier? Well, first of all, I think it's critical information. When we think about the culture that we live in today, I mean, just think about the last few months, the last year or so as we've lived in this culture. Just the simple reminder that we have as Christ followers that we are exiles in a strange, very strange land. For a season. For me, that's very helpful as I process all the issues that are going on in our country and in our city. Then from a parent's perspective, I'm able, knowing this information, I'm able to navigate and lead, I think, with better clarity, with better intentionality, knowing that God has a plan for my family and your family in this world. You know, Scripture talks about living being in this world, but not of this world. And God has a plan for our families in this world. But we as parents, as Christian families, we have a significant role to play as we live here in exile. And I feel it's really my calling, my passion, my priority to remind myself and our community here of God's big picture when it comes to family. So we're going to watch this video. Like I said, it's about 20 minutes. It's super good. And so we're going to watch this, and I'll come back up and wrap it up. Go ahead and roll that. So as exiles in this world, we're called to engage our cultural surroundings, to be present and accessible in every sphere of culture, whether it be work, in education, sports, government, art, even a church. We have a job in this world. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that God has planned for us long ago." And like God, we too are to be gift givers. I love that picture. It just it helps me just to kind of focus on what our job is as Christians, as families, that we are to be gift givers. That's why we exist. Generously pouring out our lives, our families, our future families for the life of the world. And I know that living in exile is not easy. It requires a ton of patience. Again, we live in a very antagonistic culture, right? It requires a ton of patience, of not doing things that sometimes we want to do or not saying some of the things that maybe sometimes we want to say. It requires perseverance, you know, pushing through tough times, maybe not even understanding why something is happening, but we have to push through and persevere. And then it requires sacrifice, which is so unnatural for us, to be able to put others in front of ourselves. But the good news, as the video played, is that Jesus entered into our exile. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has entered into our exile, and he walks with us as we allow him to work in and through us. So are we willing to say yes to God's plan for the family? Are we willing to say yes to create these intentional families, to build homes, to plant gardens, and to work for the peace and prosperity of our city, of our world, of our new neighbors, the place that God has placed us, because our city's welfare will determine our welfare. So my prayer is that our labor together will transform this world, this city, into a people of God, as it did with Jeremiah, until his promises have unfolded and he's restored us to our real home. One day. So until then, as we practice patience, as we push through with perseverance, and as we sacrifice for the kingdom, my prayer then is that we would really cling to this verse, Philippians 4:19, just a great picture for me again, and my God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your plan. Sometimes we just forget. We're sorry for that we forget that you have a grand plan for us, for our families. And we want to thank you for the example that you've set, that you've sent to us in Jesus. We thank you for walking with us in this exile, for not abandoning us. God, we need you in this world because it's hard. God, would you help us to see the beauty in it? And help us to say yes to your plan for us. We love you, we need you, we invite you into our lives to work in us and through us. God, give us the courage that we need to live for the life of the world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you want to...